Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
We are joined once again by Dean McGuinness and Esther McCarthy. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Dean, I've got to first off address not just the beer we're going to be drinking, but what we're going to be drinking it out of. What are they?
They're quite cool. We've got a beer called Waterloo, and they have made some cups. The best way I could describe them would be that if you've seen Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, mm-hmm. when they get to that kind of scene near the end where they find the actual Holy Grail, it was a carpenter's cup. It looks like that. It's a ceramic cup that's handmade. Made and quite odd, it's specifically not regular in terms of its of the way it's made.
It frankly looks like, if anyone is watching pictures, it looks like Dean's about to say mass. is what it looks like. I'm down with that. It's kind of a mass I'd like to go to. Why though? Why is it a gimmick, or does it add something?
Yeah, what you've got, well, with some beers, the history of beer would be that when beer was cloudy, and particularly when beer was dark and cloudy, breweries had less concern about that because it would be in cups like this. So in Germany, you'd see glasses called steins, which aren't made of glass, so I probably shouldn't be calling them a glass.
Receptacles, yes.
Yeah, and I was talking to somebody about a glass stein, and he was looking at me because he spoke German. He was saying, "Stein is stone, so it's not a glass stein, it's a glass, you idiot." When the outside of the cup was not possible to see through it, then if the beer was cloudy or dark, it didn't cause as much concern. And when glass was developed, the need for beer to be brighter and the popularity of golden beer increased massively because people could see it through the glass. So this is a beer, it's called Waterloo. It's brewed in Waterloo. The brewery that brews it owns the oldest lambic brewery in the world. So they're a brewery that is very much into authenticity, and they don't own a brewery in Waterloo, so they worked with a brewery that is based in Waterloo to brew this beer, and then the cups are reminiscent of what would have been drunk from around the time of that time.
All right, okay. And both the beers we're going to do today, are we both going to drink them out of the
both from
cool
this? Yeah, we've got Waterloo Triple Blonde and we've got Waterloo Double Dark, and we'll be talking about beer personality.
Right, okay. Is there, and from the brewer's point of view, why did they want to make them in Waterloo? Is there some historical reason for that?
Just, they decided that it would be interesting to have beer brewed in Waterloo and then kind of build the entire theme around it in Belgium. One of the things about Belgium, and this comes into the idea of beer personality, when you're talking about wine, often people will talk about wine very much by the region. Mm. So if they're talking about a Sauvignon Blanc, they'll often say, a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand is particularly good because agriculture and the terroir and so on is so important in wine. With beer, it's much more about the person who's designing the beer. And in Belgium, there's a really interesting thing about Belgium that the beers are very eccentric is the word that brewers like to use, but each beer tends to be quite individual and unique. And part of that is because Belgium has been a kind of a battlefield of Europe. If you look at the history of Belgium, every few years there's been a new battle kind of happening there. And I think it kind of ingrains itself into Belgian people's personality that a little bit like the Irish like to kind of make it very clear that they're Irish and that they're different from other people. And the Belgians have this need to express their individuality. In our case, it's because we're probably dominated by the English for 800 years. In Belgium's case, it's that they were dominated by just about everybody else in the world.
Or made their way through invading someplace else. That's just a good point. Hadn't thought of that.
That comes through in the beer. And this is something that's based on a beer from a battlefield. So the whole thing kind of ties together in terms of that.
Right. OK. Frank the Vet wants to know, can you buy a Schaefer Hofer Weizen with grapefruit in Ireland?
I think you can. I'm starting to get paranoid now because I've seen it and I can picture it in my head and have tasted it. And I'm wondering, was it on a trip to Germany or was it because it was in Ireland? I'm fairly sure it's here. If it is here, the best places to try would be the online stores or the specialty beer stores. But I'm fairly sure it is available. All right.
Right. OK. Right. So, Esther, Mulan, is Mulan one of those movies that was that they put off releasing?
It was. It's bizarre to imagine it now, but in early March, Yaifei Liu, the star of Mulan, stepped out on the red carpet in a posh, fancy frock for the premiere of Mulan. Hundreds of people sat next to each other in the dark, Sean. Remember
wow.
those days?
Weird.
To watch the US premiere. Actually, it was the world premiere, but and little did we know then, but that was, you know, the last time US audiences would watch the movie on the big screen for the foreseeable future. The last big premiere really to take place in Hollywood before the world got slapped by COVID-19. And I think, you know, it's been a time like no other, of course. And you know, this one was due for release in late March. And it is now going straight to stream on Disney Plus. But there's a premium charge for this one. You're going to, even if you subscribe to Disney Plus, you're going to be paying another $21.99 for premiere access. Now, that does allow you to watch the film as often as you like.
Right. OK. Is it worth that amount of money?
I mean, you could wait till December and watch it on Disney Plus for free. But if you do want to watch this one, it's going to cost you $21.99. I thought it was pretty good, I have to say. I liked it. It's epic looking. It's a good adaptation. It's its own animal, actually. It's not a copy and paste version of the animated film.
Right,
which might disappoint some people, especially those who love the songs in the animated film, because they don't feature here. But they're trying to do something different with it. It feels more like an original film than the other movies like this from Disney, I have to say.
All right. Is it a bit edgier than the animated version?
It's more of a drama, I think. It's kind of trying to be more of an action drama and a bit kind of Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in style, you know, that kind of vibe to it. So, I liked it. I have to say, I liked it. A lot of big, good action sequences as well.
Actually, we were earlier on the show today, we were talking about cancel culture, and apparently the lead actor in it reportedly has shown support for the Hong Kong police last year. So there's calls to boycott the film.
I just saw that. I don't know the detail of that. I just saw it breaking as I came onto air there. Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one.
I know this is on Disney, but is there Chinese money in this film?
Well, it's the lead star is a Chinese actor. I don't know if it's produced by a Chinese company, but it's definitely going back to the roots. Like Mulan was originally a folk hero in China, a kind of a warrior. She's a story that people would have grown up with in China before there was ever a film made. Mm. So it's kind of, it really goes back to the roots of that, I think.
Right. So to lob up the ball in the air so you can deliver the punchline, I'm thinking of ending things. What's it about?
Esquire asked Charlie Kaufman this, and Charlie Kaufman said it's about 2 hours and 7 minutes.
Yes.
it's so Kaufman a thing to say. Of course, he says, what does the word Kaufman-esque mean? He doesn't understand it, so he's the most meta filmmaker ever, Sean. And he's just delightful. I really, really loved I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And I think it's not what's it about in a Christopher Nolan kind of way that you feel alienated as a viewer if you don't get it. I think what Kaufman does and why he's filmmaking is so wonderful that he kind of gives you something that's about whatever frame of mind you're in at the time and whatever you want it to be about, and somehow manages to get away with it pretty much every time. I loved this.
And you know, people who know Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Being John Malkovich and all those kind of the concepts are brilliant, but there's also a huge amount of charm in a lot of his work and humor.
Totally.
Humor. Is that there this time?
I found it really funny, I have to say, and then read a few reviews when they came out and saw people just describing it as dark and dour and going, oh gosh, what frame of mind was I in that day? But I'm maintaining that it's very, very funny. Like, he internalizes his characters a lot and he has them narrating in their heads. That's a real thing he does a lot in his films, and I love it. Frankly, as someone who's been going around narrating in my own head since mid-March, I find it refreshing to know that somebody else is doing it. And there is the very opening scene in this is Jessie Buckley's character. She's in the car with her boyfriend, and she's basically saying, why am I going to see his parents? I'm thinking of ending things in her head. Yeah. And then he says, did you just say something? So I was in stitches in the word go with this, but I have to say I was sobbing by the end of it as well.
Right, okay. One texter says the trailer of Mulan looks very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, with the running along the walls and everything. Looks good, but samey. Is that a fair comparison?
I think it is. I think that I did like it, but I don't think it's trying to be epic. I don't think it's quite a classic. You know, it's not that adrenaline rush when you know you've just seen a fantastic film. Mm-hmm. But it's very well put together, I have to say.
Luke wants to know, after the death of Chadwick Boseman, are there any other movies I would recommend of his? I've seen Black Panther, which I enjoyed, but like it was grand. I think you mentioned he was in the new Spike Lee movie, but can't remember the name of that. Was that The Five Bloods? Was he in that?
The Five Bloods, yeah, which is on Netflix, so you can watch that tonight. I mean, some people loved The Five Bloods. For me, it lost me in the last hour, but there's a lot to recommend. And he's great in it. He shows up in everything. I haven't seen it, but there's a James Brown biopic as well that he's supposed to be brilliant in, so you might try and seek that
right.
one out.
Okay.
I'll try and find the name of it as well.
Yeah, being John Malkovich is absolutely insane. It made me feel queasy and unsettled. Is this the same? If so, I'll take some travel sickness tablets before viewing.
No, it's not as kind of claustrophobic as being John Malkovich, I have to say. But there are certainly horror and supernatural elements to this film. But I think he's just having a game with us here.
Right.
I mean, I thought so. He makes you think you're really clever in thinking you think you're really clever in a film when you tweak something just before it happens.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, this is going to be psychological thriller. I'm so clever. And then he just pulls the rug out from under you, really, which is you just have to surrender to him and enjoy this, you know.
Where can that be seen, by the way?
That's on Netflix.
Oh, great.
And he's come out, and Kaufman has come out and said, you know, he got really praise and plaudits for his last two films. He came out and said, I can't get movies made in the cinema anymore. So, you know, we used to think Netflix was the big enemy of cinemas, but maybe the studios need to have a look at themselves, because if films like this aren't getting financed anymore, then the filmmakers are going to straight to stream, because that's where the money is. You can't make films with... you know, a bit of idealism, you know, you have to have commerce and finance in place there as well.
And so this would have been long before COVID that he was trying to get the financing for this film and couldn't get the money. That's
absolutely
very interesting.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Part of the Tenet backlash, Tenet was a lot better than I thought it would be. It's well worth watching on the IMAX screen, says one texter. So you're ahead in points at the moment, even though, like, whether it's bad or good is entirely your fault. Noel says, I picked up a beer I've never seen before in Lidl today called Golden Drack. When I got home, I discovered it was 10.5%. I presume I can wave goodbye to this toothache. Has the beer man heard of it?
Yes, I have now. The beer that you've probably picked up is Golden Drack 9000, the way that you'll know.
Which makes it sound even more scary.
Yeah. And most people just notice the Golden Drack and don't notice the 9000 on it. There is a beer called Golden Drack, and the bottle for that, it's a screen-wrapped bottle that's white in colour. The Golden Drack 9000 is black. The difference between them is Golden Drack is a dark triple and the Golden Drack 9000 is a quadruple. Both of them are 10.5%.
Okay.
So a delicious beer, really good. A brewery called Jeff van Steenberg in Ghent. And it is a lovely beer, but it's a sip-it beer. You know, it's a bit like these beers. These beers are 8%. You sit back and sip them and enjoy them.
Alice says, can you ask the beer guy why 1664 Blanc beer is not sold in Ireland? And ask Esther what she thought of Black Spot on Netflix, my favourite. So first to you, Dean.
Okay, right. Yeah, Cronenberg, there's a little bit of a story around that. Cronenberg is a brewery that was owned by a brewery called Scottish Courage. And a number of years ago, we had a brewery called Beamish in Ireland that was owned by Scottish Courage as well. So Cronenberg was in the country while Beamish was operating. Scottish Courage was bought by Carlsberg and Heineken. And Heineken, ironically, discovered then that they owned the other brewery in Cork, because I don't think they had bought it with the intention of being both breweries in Cork. And Beamish was kind of scaled down and has shut down as a result. And a few of the beers that used to be coming in through Beamish just don't seem to be coming in anymore. Heineken tends to be very specific about the range of beers. They do about five or six imported beers and tend not to go outside of that. They just tend to focus on a very small range.
Right, okay.
Kronenberg is one of them.
Well, I'm still talking to you. Where can, somebody wants to know where they can purchase the wine chalices, or can you?
Oh, yeah, no. There would be something that you could probably get in a gift pack coming around Christmas time, that the best way of getting them. There can be a very limited number of them in the country, and sometimes they're given out on promotion. I was at the Brussels Beer Festival with a friend, and there was a particularly distinctive glass, and she was insisting on stealing the glass, and she worked for an embassy, and I was kind of thinking,
well, there you go, she can't get arrested
just for international diplomatic relations. I don't think this is, and I was, I'll get
not
you
worth wrecking your career
and,
for
no, it's not the same, you have to steal the glass.
That's true, it isn't, it isn't the same. Right, so okay, well, while you're pouring some beer into those stolen glasses, Black Spot on Netflix, Esther, have you heard of that?
I haven't. That's not on my radar, I'm afraid. I don't know what that is, even. Sorry, can't help you.
Sorry about that. All right. Okay, so we're going to talk about our first beer, Dean. So tell us about it.
Okay. So, yeah, first beer, Waterloo Triple Blonde. Now, first of all, in terms of style, first of all, in terms of the first sip of it, quite unusual out of the stone chalice. It gives a kind of a different impression to the beer. It's quite unusual, because I tasted it to do my notes, and I was tasting it out of a regular glass, and tasting it now out of the chalice, it's almost a different experience.
And how does it taste out of a glass?
A little bit more fruity. But there's something the I'm not allowed to use the word mouthfeel because it grosses people out.
Well, you just did.
There's something about the texture on the lips of the side of the glass. That's probably just as bad.
Well, we are doing righty movies today, so that fits in.
Right? Yeah, but it's. I think one of the things when you're tasting out of an unusual glass is that the shape of the glass tends to direct the flavours a little bit. So the fruitiness comes through. The spiciness isn't coming through as much as I was getting it earlier on today. So there's a slight difference in balance. In terms of the style for this, it's described as a triple blonde. And a triple is one style of beer, and a blonde is a different style of beer.
Yes.
It is a triple blonde. Ironically, the person who asked about Guldendrack, the Belgians tend to do this. The idea of beer styles in Belgium came from a book written by Michael Jackson, the beer hunter. And he wrote a book called The Great Beers of Belgium, which is an absolutely superb book. It's still considered to be a classic about Belgian beers. And two things that came through in that. One was that he had this really complicated job of trying to describe all of the beers that he was tasting around Belgium. So he tried to put them into families as best he could, and those families kind of developed into beer styles. But with beer styles, it's pretty much always a case of taking what's there and putting it into a group after the fact, rather than deciding I'm going to brew a stout and then of brewing it from that point of view. As he did that, pretty much every Belgian brewer then has spent the rest of their lives trying to work out how to get outside of the styles. Guldendrack is a dark triple. Normally a triple is golden in colour, and Guldendrack has insisted on doing a dark version of one. This is described as a triple blonde. A blonde is normally 5.5% to 7.5%. A triple is normally 7.5% to just above 10% in terms of range of ABV. So this would qualify as a triple in terms of its style. Maybe they're saying triple blonde because it's not a dark triple, and now that Guldendrack has confused the hell out of us about what triples are, that they're making it clear that it's a kind of a classic triple. It is absolutely superb beer. Lovely flavours on it. And what's nice about it, the triple style is quite diverse. So there are triples like Triple Carmelite that are quite spicy and quite notably spicy. Le Trappe Triple is quite phenolic, so that's quite a kind of an organic warming taste. Chimay Triple or Chimay White is quite floral in the hop character. Gooden Carolus Triple is quite fruity. Now, all of them would have a measure of each of those flavours, but it would vary as to the level of balance of each of the flavours in this. With this one, what you're getting is marmalade, orange rind, peach, apricot, fruit flavours. There's a level of spiciness in it, but the spiciness is kind of soft spices and slightly subtle. Comes through as licorice, clove, a certain amount of allspice, and then as you're tasting the beer, it tends to develop. There seems
to be
a
certain amount of allspice. Isn't that aftershave?
Allspice.
All right, oh, sorry, the mark of a man.
And then there's a lovely creamy vanilla type character that comes through as you're sipping the beer, and that develops into a kind of a nuttiness as well. You get creamy nutmeg and a certain amount of dry walnut as well in it.
And the mugs are absolutely gorgeous. It is very pleasant to drink from them.
Do you know something? I actually now feel like a total idiot because I'm meant to be also dressed for the occasion.
Oh, there's a hat you can wear as well. Okay, right, because interestingly enough, it says Waterloo, the beer of bravery.
And
I was wondering, were they taking a side? Now we know which side they were taking, right?
And you need a certain level of bravery to wear the hat.
Yes, you would. And I hats off to you, so to speak. Right, Esther, what movie would you like to talk about first?
Oh, let's do I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Okay, yeah. Esther is thinking of ending things after this break.
Jake is a nice guy, but I think of ending things. What's the point in carrying on like this? I know what it is, where it's going. Jake is a nice guy, but it's not going anywhere. I've known this for a while now. Maybe it's human nature to keep going in the face of this knowledge. The alternative requires too much energy, decisiveness. People stay in unhealthy relationships because it's easier. Basic physics. An object in motion tends to stay in motion. People tend to stay in relationships past their expiration date. It's Newton's first law of emotion.
Do you want to stop for a coffee or something, a snack? It's going to get pretty farmy pretty fast now.
I'm fine.
You sure?
Mm-hmm. Don't want to spoil my appetite.
Right, that's I'm Thinking of Ending Things. So, Esther, what's, as you said, it seems to open with a couple driving someplace and things are already looking bad.
They're going to meet the parents, and Jesse Buckley's character is going, what am I doing here? I'm only seeing this guy for 6 weeks, and now I'm tied into meeting his parents. And she's having this big muse, this inner conversation with herself at the start of the movie. And a lot of it's set in the car, actually. So it's like she's almost narrating the story inside her own head, which I just absolutely loved. Like, very few filmmakers would dare even try and get away with that, but Kaufman is just brilliant at it. And then, you know, as you heard in the clip there, it steps in and out of her own internal dialogue and her dialogue with her new boyfriend, who's played by Jesse Plemons from Breaking Bad, who's just great here. But honestly, this is Jesse Buckley's film, and I think Ireland needs to talk about the Jesse Buckley Appreciation Society and why there aren't more members of it, because she is just brilliant here. And she is stepping up like big time, because she's been really good in movies like Wild Rose and Beast, which is what Kaufman saw her in, actually. It was a little indie from about 4 years ago set in the Isle of Man, and she was brilliant in it. It was very dark stuff. And he wanted her for this film. She only found this out when she was doing an interview with him. Like, he was headhunting her for this, and she was like, really? Because she's a very kind of low-key person, Jessie, who I've had the pleasure of meeting and interviewing a few times. And honestly, this success couldn't be happening to a nicer person. But I love how she is stepping up, because she is getting scripts thrown at her in the last couple of years. She is getting offers. There is a heat around her, you know, and I love that she's choosing to do material like this. And I think she really has to step up in terms of her acting here. And she is just as sensational as I would have hoped she would be in it, really. And it's a very still performance, because Coughlin can be so surreal and off the grid that you almost need to anchor the writing with a still performance. So it's very subtle. You know, there's no one hitting fist off a desk here and going, I might get an Oscar nomination. And she just makes you believe as an audience in this crazy, crazy story that he's weaving, and you're just in the palm of both their hands by the end of it, really. I thought it was really fabulous. But it, as much as I can... Sorry, go on.
Is it the story of their relationship or...
It's the story. It's all the big stuff. He's fooling you. He's pretending he's giving you a psychological thriller. But when's Kaufman going to give you genre? Like, it's just not happening. Yeah. But he fools you for the first hour because she goes to the house and they meet the parents who are kind of a bit mad. So that makes it feel more uneasy about what am I doing here at Sky. They're played by Toni Collette and David Thewlis, who are just having a ball here in supporting roles. She doesn't know where the relationship is going. She's struggling to get on with them. They're a little overexcited. The dog starts behaving very strangely. There's a basement that she maybe is told not to go down. So we're going, you're getting a psychological thriller here. But no, you think, because kind of really profound stuff starts to happen. And I think all I'll say is, I mean, I think Kaufman's wonder is that you can take whatever is going on in your own head from his films. And I thought it was really all the big, big existential stuff here. He's using time, and like Nolan, he's a bit obsessed with time and the movement of time in his films. There's one line, I think, which probably sums up what the film is about, if that's possible, is when Jesse's character says, what if we're not moving through time and time is moving through us? And that is, it's kind of life, I suppose. It's about love, life, the passing people you love, making the most of the time you have. And characters, grow older and younger. She spots herself in a photograph at one stage in the family house where the boyfriend says, that's him. And she says, no, that's me. So it's really, really strange, but you just believe every bit of it. You don't start going, well, what's that about? Why did that happen? Mm. You just fall into step with this.
Right.
And I thought it was very, very funny in places. It's a really great script. Doesn't quite beat my favourite screenplay of his, which is Adaptation. I absolutely love Adaptation, how he wrote himself and his fictional twin brother into his own adaptation of a novel. I still don't know quite what that was about, but it was fantastic. And I just think it's up there with his best work. It's very darkly funny, really amusing. I could have done without the last 5 minutes, I have to say. He goes a bit crazy in the last five. But I was kind of sobbing by then, so I didn't really take in the last 5 minutes because of what had happened before.
So it doesn't seem quite as high concept as some of the other films where there was a singular conceit and it built around that.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm looking forward to talking to people when they've seen it about what they think it's about, because I did, as I say, read some reviews. I found it really profound, I have to say, really profoundly moving. And I read some other reviews and people had this take and that take on it. And I was like, have you seen the same film as me? And I thought, if Kaufman could hear that now, he'd be chuckling away to himself in a corner somewhere.
All right. Know? Okay.
It's wonderful. And it's on Netflix from today.
Okay, so it's free if you have Netflix already. Jessie yes. Buckley seems to be taking Hollywood by storm. Also, her accent sounds perfect there, says another text here. Yes, it does. She's really spot on accent-wise. And as you say, are we going to see her in, the next Christopher Nolan or some other, big budget movie soon?
I'd be really interested to see what she chooses next. She supported in Judy, Judy Garland biopic, but it was quite a small role. So I think she's going to very quickly get offered very big stuff. And I think where you go next as an actor when you're on this kind of, cliff face, it can be really, really interesting. And I think the fact that she's choosing to work with people like Kaufman is just very, very exciting. I know she's going to be in the next series of Fargo. I think she's shooting that in the US at the moment. And she's also... doing Maggie Gyllenhaal's directorial debut. She's was announced as cast in that, along with Paul Mescal, actually, from Normal People. That's Maggie Gyllenhaal making her first film. So you're going to get, very hip indie stuff there, I'm sure. And she's signed up for that. So I think her choices are going to be really interesting and possibly wonderful.
Right, okay. And Jesse Plemons, texter says, Jesse Plemons is a great actor and is in so much, yet is never the main draw. He was wasted from what I watched of The Irishman. I didn't watch past halfway as it was terrible, but loved seeing him in it. Ah, well, then you missed the whole bit where he's elected president of the United States. Oh, spoiler. Never mind. Anyway, a few questions on beer. While Dean is with us, could you ask your beer expert about a beer I recently saw on the Rick Stein show on one of his food channels? He was in Dusseldorf and was drinking a beer called Altbier, which I guess means old beer. It was dark like an ale and served in small, thin glasses. It looked lovely.
Yeah. It is a beer that's associated with Dusseldorf, and the name, they're spot on in terms of that. In Germany, lagers are considered to be new beers, and then Altbiers are brewed as ales, and that's where the name for the style comes from, the Alt. Alt is German for old. Yeah, it's a Dusseldorf thing. If you're in Dusseldorf, there's a range of different breweries that do Altbiers. They tend to be a bit different from each other. It is a style. But a little bit like Belgian styles. And if anything, I suppose when you think about Germany, one of the things about German personality is that it's kind of almost the exact opposite of Belgian personality. That German personality is quite predictable.
Like yes. That one.
more regular than Belgian personality would be, and that is reflected in their beers as well. But Altbier would be kind of an exception to that. That there's a bit of diversity in the range of different beers that they do.
On that subject, Linda says, can you give a shout out to Kevin, John, Danny and Chris from me? We were due to be flying out to Brussels this afternoon for the annual trek to the Belgian Beer Festival. Alas, we will have to wait until next year. Well, indeed you will. Hopefully it'll be going ahead next year. Where can I buy Friar Weiss by Franciscan Well outside of Cork? Anything else similar to it or Franz Kreiner?
Okay, so Friar Weiss is by Franciscan Well, which is now owned by Molson Coors. It was very widely available. They did a big push on their full range of beers out there, but it seems like there's been, because we've got about 80 odd breweries around the country, there was a lot of Irish beers on the shelves, and now different shops are choosing the beers that they're putting on the shelves, so it becomes a much more tricky thing to predict which exact shop each of the beers is going to be available in. If you're in Cork, the Franciscan Well brew pub is still there. If you're outside of Cork, it is out there, but it will depend on the shops that are working with them on it. The other one is Franciscaner, which is a Weiss beer. Definitely is in the country. I would have said that most of the independent beer specialists would have a good chance of having it. Franciscaner, I 99% certain it's a brewery that is part of AB InBev, so it's part of the Staropramen range and a number of other beers, so that would mean that there's a little bit more push in terms of marketing muscle behind it, but yeah, classic German Hefeweiss.
Emmett, who's in Rathmines in Dublin, says what's happened to White Gypsy? He can't find it anywhere.
Oh, superb brewer, Cúlainn Lough Nan down in Thurles. If that is the case, it could be a short term thing to do with COVID-19. Now, Cúlainn is quite an interesting guy, because there's a thing in England where a number of breweries just decide to work within a certain footprint, and Cúlainn tends to do that. He tends to kind of take Thurles as a centre and then go within a radius of Thurles, so if there's customers kind of, you know, quite a distance away from them, he tends not to.
It's Emmett's own fault for living in Dublin. That's what it is. And finally, somebody's texting to say, I used to work in a certain brewery, and a former colleague used to say, Cronenberg, the reason the French drink wine. We have to take a break, one more movie, one more beer after this. Esther and Dean are still with us. We've talked about I'm Thinking of Ending Things, and had one beer that's called, well, we're going to drink two beers basically by the same name. They're both called Waterloo. the beer of bravery. We were talking, somebody did text in a question about Chadwick Boseman earlier on, and lots of people saying he was very good as James Brown in the film Get On Up. Also worth seeing is Marshall about the first African-American Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, says James. Jesse Plemons was great in Game Night with Jason Bateman. So funny. And he was very dark in Black Mirror. I'd agree he's a great actor. And as part of the ongoing Tenet backlash, Tenet was one of the worst films I've ever seen. There's nothing worse than a dumb film that thinks it's really clever. Says this texter. Ask the Dean of Beer Studies what the difference is between a Doppelbock and a Double. All I know is that they're both brown and delicious, says Louise.
Okay, Doppelbock is a German style and it's a strong lager. So they are both brown, but with a lager, it's brewed with lager yeast and the fermentation character tends to be cleaner. So you tend to get less flavour from the fermentation character. A Double is a Belgian style and it's also a similar colour, red-brown in colour, but you've got a Belgian ale yeast used for the fermentation. And then that comes through as quite an amount of fruitiness. It tends to be Christmas pudding flavours, so plums, dates, raisins, dried fruits, things like that. And then you get a certain amount of Belgian spice character. So it comes through as things like black pepper, chili, or allspice, or nutmeg, things like that. So, yeah, both delicious beers. I think we did Celebrator, which would be a Doppelbock, a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Somebody's texted in to say, sorry. What was the name of the movie with the great Jessie in it? Also, I didn't hear her surname. You're not really committed to this whole thing, seeing you don't know who the actor is or who the movie is. You know, just stay tuned. We might let you know later on. Let's move on to our second Waterloo beer.
Right, so we're Waterloo Double Dark, and this would be a strong Belgian dark ale. And again, tasting it out of the stone cup, it's a little bit different. A very chocolatey beer.
It is, yes.
Yeah, chocolatey, cocoa powder, those types of flavours, dark malt flavours. Now, mixed in with that is a certain amount of black currant juice character. So like Ribena, people would think of black currant juice flavour coming from that. And that's a beautiful combination. That kind of dark red fruit flavour with chocolate works really, really well. It's kind of Black Forest Gâteau type of thing. As we were tasting it, we were doing a tasting and going through it. There's an amount of spice in this, but it's very, very subtle and it's in behind. And there seems to be a house character with these Waterloo beers of creamy vanilla. And vanilla is something that sometimes comes through from fermentation. Also, sometimes you can get it if it's a barrel-aged beers. These wouldn't be barrel-aged beers, but you can get a certain amount of vanilla from it. Mm. Now, with these beers, what you're looking at... both of them would fit into styles that are quite well defined for Belgian beers, but those styles would be quite broad. And what you've got then with Belgian breweries is you've got different breweries interpreting the style, so they can be at the centre of the style or they can be around the broad edges of the style. They would be both fairly solid kind of examples of the centre of a Belgian triple and a Belgian strong dark ale. But as you're looking at different styles from around Belgium, sometimes you'd see beers that are kind of more on the edge of that style. So over the next number of months, what I'm hoping to do is to try to see over the next number of years, if I'm still drinking beer and so on the radio, see if we can kind of take a few trips around Ireland and see if we can pick out breweries. I think I've done a quick toss and I think we've done about 25 to 28 breweries from around Ireland over the course of the last number of times. But we've got about 80 breweries now in the country. So I'm going to see if we can kind of randomise and start picking breweries around and have a look and see if we can build up an idea of Irish brewing personality.
That would be an excellent thing to do. Jeremy says you can get White Gypsy. It's usually available in Martin's off licence in Fairview. So that was Emmett. So sorry, Emmett, you're going to have to get your visa permission to go over to the north side to get your beer. Right, I'll move on to our second movie. It is Mulan. Here's a clip.
Need a hand, little man?
Insult me again and you'll taste the tip of my blade.
Lower your sword.
What?
I'm your commanding officer. Fighting will not be tolerated, am I clear?
Yes, Commander.
With your voice, soldier.
Yes, Commander.
What is your name?
Hua Jun, Commander.
Is this your family sword?
It belongs to my father, Hua Zhou.
There you go. That's Mulan. So the story in this and the animated, is it pretty much the same, Esther?
It's kind of different, and people are, there are kind of elements that are much beloved in the film that are not here, and people are probably going to kick back against that a little. But I will say, you know, Disney are accused time and time again of giving us tired remakes, and this is a different take. It's a modern take, I suppose, on the story of the Chinese folk hero. But what do I mean is missing? I suppose Eddie Murphy's character, the talking dragon Mushu, who is really, really popular in the animated film, is pretty much absent here. And we are presented with a new character instead. So it's given a supernatural element. We get to meet a witch named Xian, who's played by Li Gong, the great Chinese actress, who has questionable motivations, and she's kind of a potential rival or threat to Mulan. I think what people will miss most is the songs, the lack of songs. Mm. But when you see this film, it makes sense as a decision because it's an action drama. And if they were to start to jump into numbers in the middle of it, it would take kind of the dramatic tension they're trying to go for out of the film. And I will say there's a great Christina Aguilera song at the end. So, you know, you kind of park how it compares to the animated film, I suppose. They're really trying to give us another take here. And I suppose people will want to know this, actually. Disney Plus subscribers in Ireland can have it from today. You'll have to pay another £21.99 for Premier Access. Once you have that and are a Disney Plus subscriber, you can watch it as many times as you like. If you don't want to pay for it, it'll be on Disney Plus from December, and it'll also be on other platforms, rental platforms, including Apple and Google. So that's where you'll get it. But today, if you want to see it today, you're paying £21.99 on Disney Plus.
And looking at it on a TV, Esther, would you go, ooh, I wish I could have seen this on a big screen?
Yeah, I did feel that. I did feel it. I kind of felt a bit sad about it, actually, a bit bittersweet, because it's a very good looking film. It's a, you know, she's very much a warrior. She's a real fighter in this. And it's similar, the setup, in that she's the daughter of a top military man. And it's 6th century China, so, you know, tradition and convention has that she's a kid. When she's a kid, she gets to fight. But once she kind of hits puberty and her teenage years, you know, she's told you can't do this anymore. It's against tradition. It's against convention. When she gets into her later teens, they're looking at an arranged marriage, and she's kind of going, lads, I don't want this at all. I want to kick ass, you know. So the Emperor of China then decrees that one man in every family must serve in the army to help defend against invaders who are coming in from the north. But she steps up to take place of her father, against his wishes, actually. He's not well, and she's worried about him going to front line. So she kind of just steals his sword and shield and makes off and disguises herself as a man. So really, you know, really good feminist cinema here. She's taken on this massive challenge as well of keeping the secret, obviously, from the vast army of male colleagues in her army. So that's the story of it. Some elements are missing. I thought this was a pretty good action film. I'm in 3-star territory with it. I wasn't kind of blown away by it, but it's kind of doing what it's aiming to do very well, I would say. Yaifei Liu, who's the lead actress and the title character, is really, really good in it. Really convincing. Takes that kind of, I suppose it's more grounded in realism than, well, obviously, because it's not animated, but it's more grounded in kind of realism. But it's also kind of a nice nod, I think, to this Chinese folk hero. This one's getting released in cinemas in China, and it'll be very interesting to see what it does box office wise, or to see whether people will be willing to pay for it on Disney Plus. Well, they will, obviously, but how many worldwide? Because this film, I can tell you, Disney could stand to lose a fortune in this. Like, it was due for release in March, so they had already spent, it's usually the same amount of as the film's budget is the marketing and advertising spend. So you're talking about $200 million on a film that was due out in March, and we're now at what, September? And the film itself as well, it's epic in scope. Like, it cost $200 million to make as well. So,
well, China's biggest cinema market in the world now. So they can still make a few bob there at one
minute. I think
they
can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So thanks, Esther. That's Mulan. The other film we were talking about is called I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's on Netflix. It stars Jesse Plemons and our own Jesse Buckley. So now you know the name of the second film. I might put that on my list tonight. Esther and Dean, thank you both very much. That's it from us for today and for this week. Ciarán's up next on News Talk. Our production team today, Aidan McKelvey, Michael Quilligan, Simon Tierney and Claire Collins. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a nice weekend.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.